ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 We are talking about the Bhagavatam Canto 11, Chapter 4, The Incarnations of Godhead, Text Number 1. Shri Raja Vacha
Shri Raja Vacha
Yami Yami Ha Karmani
Yami Yami Ha Karmani
Yai Yai Swachanda Janmabhi
Yai Yai Swachanda Janmabhi
Chakre Karoti Kartava
Chakre Karoti Kartava
Adhisthani Bhavantu Naha
Adhisthani Bhavantu Naha
Shri Raja Vacha The King said Yani Yani
Yani Yani
Each
Iha
In this world Karmani
Of the activities
Yai Yai
Yai
Yai
By each
Swachanda
Swachanda
Assumed independently Dhammabhi
Of the appearances
Chakre,
he performed.
Karoti,
is
performing. Karata,
will perform.
Va,
or.
Harihi,
the
Supreme Lord Hari.
Tani,
these. Ruvantu, please tell. Naha,
us.
King Nimi said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into the material world by his internal potency and according to his own desire. Therefore, please tell us about the various pastimes Lord Hari has performed in the past, is performing now, and will perform in this world in the future in his various incarnations. Therefore, in this fourth chapter, the son of Jayanti, Dhrumila, will address King Nimi. The 48th verse of the third chapter stated, Murtya Vimatya Manaha. One should worship the particular form of the Lord most attractive to oneself. Similarly, it was stated in the previous chapter, Stavai Stutva Named Harim. One should bow down to the Lord Hari after glorifying him with prayers. Thus, it is assumed that the worshipper has knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental qualities and pastimes. In order to execute the process of worship previously described. King Nimi, therefore, is eagerly inquiring about the various incarnations of the Supreme Lord so that he can ascertain which particular form of the Supreme Lord is most suitable for his personal worship. It is understood that King Nimi is a Vaishnava, or devotee, who is trying to advance in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is important to note in this regard that the word abhimatamurti, meaning one's most desirable form, does not indicate that one may concoct the form of the Lord by one's own whim. Advaitamachyutamanadimanantarupam. All the forms of the Supreme Lord are anadim, or eternal. Thus, there is no question of concocting a form because such a concoction would be Adi, or the origin of the concocted form. Abhimatamurti means among the eternal forms of the Lord one should select that form which most inspires one's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just love cannot be imitated, but it is automatically aroused when one follows the prescribed rules and regulations given by the bona fide spiritual master and submissively hears these descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Akanirandasya Arjanamjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Hitam Sena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Novishtam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamahayam Tadakti Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Yarin Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Sridhar Goswami is talking with Maharaj Bridget.
Huh? Actually,
so Nakarishi is discussing with the sages of Namasharanya. It's a very an interesting situation. Telling them about the discussions that Sukadeva Goswami had with Maharaj Parikshit. Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit are discussing a conversation between Narada Muni and Vasudeva. Right? And Vasudeva is saying, I'm in Maya. Basically, that's what he said. I'm in Maya. Yeah. Excuse me. You know, it's the duty of the householders to entertain the sages and seek enlightenment from them. And Vasudeva is putting his plea before Narada Muni. And he was saying that, you know, I had a desire to have a son. And so therefore I had to take birth in the material world. Please instruct me so that I don't have to take birth in the material world again. Which is an interesting, you know, which is a whole. So then as a result of that inquiry, Narada Muni was very inspired to preach to Vasudeva. And so he then tells the story of King Nimi. This is what we're discussing here. Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi is asking questions of the Navayogendras. And the Navayogendras were the sons of Rishabh. And these sons of Rishabh were highly elevated yogis, or devotees actually, they were actually Vaishnavas. And their main business was to give knowledge to teach people about the science of devotion, basically. That's their service. And Maharaj Nimi understood the advantage, just as Vasudeva understood the advantage of having Narada Muni visit his palace and, well, visit his kingdom or the kingdom of Dwarka anyway. And what that means, in association with the devotees, is a great opportunity. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sastra Koi. All the Shastras claim that Labha Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Siddhi Hoi, that even just a moment's association of a sainted person can perfect the life of a person. What to speak of prolonged association with the devotees, just a moment's association. And that association is an opportunity to make advancement in the spiritual life, to get an opportunity to make progress, to give some momentum to our spiritual progress. So, Maharaj Vinay asked 9 questions from the sages. Kavi Havi Antariksha Prabuddha Pipalayana Avirhotra Gumila Chamasa and Karabhajan. And so he's now, you know, that means we must be up to the 7th question. What are the various pastimes of the various incarnations of God? 4.1. That's the one that we're looking at now. Previous question is, what are the 3 types of karma? So it has been explained. And in the process of explaining that, Avihotra has described the importance of, or the function of, worshipping the deity. And in the process of deity worship, it's been recommended that one who worships the deity should worship that form that inspires him. Abhya chet murtya abhimantaya. Atmanaha. The devotee should worship the Supreme Personality of God in a particular personal form of the Lord the devotee finds most attractive. Right? So, as is pointed out here, that assumes that one has an understanding of the Lord's pastimes. Which is interesting because, you know, the Lord is known as Ananta. So he has unlimited pastimes, unlimited incarnations. So one has to be familiar with these in order to be able to identify which form of the Lord is most attractive, most appealing to the devotee. So now, King Nimi has put this question. Please tell us about these pastimes. But interesting how he's put the question, that have happened in the past, that are happening now, will happen in the future. This could really extend the pace of the Bhagavatam. So, Maharaj Nimi Singh. It's interesting, in the Bhagavatam we get the prominent incarnations, the prominent characteristics and features of the Lord. So the Bhagavatam is a very, very, very broad overview, but brings us to the point of worshipping Krishna as the all-attractive, the most attractive, the most powerful, the most potent incarnation or form of the Lord, with the most wonderful and inspiring and delightful, but also attractive pastime of Krishna. But the Bhagavatam culminates in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam with the pastimes of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, when Prabhupada explains, when Prabhupada presents Krishna consciousness, then he calls Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are many, many, unlimited Advaitam, Achyutam, Anantam, Anadya, Ananta Rupam, this verse is quoted here. That there's unlimited forms of Krishna. You know, if we were to describe all of the pastimes of the Lord in all of his incarnations, then we would just, it would stop. It doesn't stop. There's no end. Ananta means, anta means end, and ananta means no end. There's no end for the different incarnations. So the Bhagavatam does this job of helping us understand the prominent features, the prominent characteristics of the Lord, and then, you know, why Krishna is the supreme, you know, Govindam Adi Purusham. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. Because all of the forms of the Lord are ultimately emanating from him. So he's the source of all incarnations. Yet, as we know, devotees may be attracted to one specific form out of all of the different forms. Just like we said the pastime of Murari Gupta in Gaura Lila, in Lord Chaitanya's, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. I think Lord Chaitanya tried almost teasingly to get him to worship Krishna, but because he's a Ram Bhakta, then he couldn't be shaken from that determination to worship in that way. But even he was attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna's pastimes are all attractive. So, Vidyananda Maharaj in his purport makes this point that one should worship the Lord according to that form which is most appealing, most inspiring. And the most desirable form. And that it can't be something that's concocted. You know, that means something that we create. Because Krishna is anadi, which means he doesn't have a beginning. He already exists. It's not something that you can create. Like the features of the material world. And sometimes people think like this, you know, that you've just created this God. So that you could have something to lean on. You know, there's no real necessity to have a God. So people create it. But no. The Bhagavatam specifically teaches us, and the sadhus and saintly persons teach us, that actually God has an eternal form. Anadi. Adi. Govinda. He's the Adi or original Govinda. And it's one of the reasons why Krishna is most appealing for everybody, because he is the original source. So ultimately all of the incarnations of God, however attractive they may be, and of course they're all attractive, unlimitedly attractive, because Krishna is the source of all of the incarnations and he becomes the most attractive. How is it possible that out of one personality we get all of the unlimited variegatedness of the whole creation, both material and spiritual? Everything is coming from Krishna. You know, this was something that Lord Brahma realized when he wanted to play a trick on Krishna, so he stole away the cowherd voice. But then what did Krishna do? Bang, he just immediately popped up a whole completely new set. So this was a bit bewildering for Lord Brahma. So he just tucked away the cows and the cowherd voice and he stole from Krishna. And then just in a moment of Lord Brahma's time, which happens to be, a year of our time, he looks back to Krishna and he sees that Krishna's just completely, well, he didn't see it. At that time he didn't understand that Krishna had done this. But Krishna immediately just replaced them all. All the cows and all the cowherds completely replaced. As that with all detail. The way they dress, the way they behave. Each individual personality, exactly the same. All individual. It's amazing that Krishna is totally achintya. Inconceivable how one person can be the source of all of the other persons within the creation. Each one of us is an individual, and each one of us has their own quirkiness. Right? We like to do things in a particular way, and each one of us is completely different in the way that we do things and the way we behave. Unique. And that's all coming from one personality, from Krishna. It's amazing how he does that. So Krishna revealed eventually to Lord Brahma how he was actually within each of the forms of the cows, and he manifested in his Vishnu forms. And all of the cows and in all of the cowherd boys, he revealed to Lord Brahma that he was basically everything. And yet he's not everything. He's everything but not everything. because he remains himself. Even though he makes everything else, he still remains himself. And there's no loss. And if we make something that's apart, separated from us, but in the creation, even though everything is separated from Krishna, it's still Krishna. Very powerful personality. So, one cannot create a form to worship, because that would mean that it has some beginning. All of the forms of the Lord are anadi, and they have a beginning. They're eternal. They always exist. And as you mentioned here, he performs his pastimes as he desires. We take birth because we're forced. We don't get any choice. We just suddenly find ourselves, sitting in a pram one day. How did I get here? What happened? At some point in time we realise, I'm here. Being in ignorance, we've been in ignorance all the time before that. And all of a sudden we realise, here I am. What's going on? My mummy, my daddy. Who are these people? That certainly occurred to me on more than one occasion. Where am I? What am I doing here? We're forced into these situations in ignorance. But Krishna is never forced. Well, I shouldn't say that he's never forced. Krishna is all inclusive, always satisfied at his Atmarama. He's always satisfied. Yet, he hankers for the love and affection. Even he's self-satisfied. Yet he hankers for the love and affection of his devotees. Even though he's fully satisfied, there's no material lacking in Krishna. And there's no material gain for Krishna, because he has everything. And he's always self-satisfied. Yet, he hankers for the affection and for the, his loving devotees. So actually, he does come under control of his devotees. So that's a different thing. We're controlled by our past misdeeds and the karma. Okay, now suffer. Krishna desires to appear. He chooses where he appears. Wherefore? And then he makes by his internal energy, by the internal potency. He makes these arrangements. So all of his friends and relatives and all the people that he wants to enjoy with, pastimes with, they're all brought together in a big, like Prabhupada says, like in a big roadshow. Like a big circus comes to town. For example, Prabhupada, because it's not a circus. Although there is plenty of entertainment. Plenty of entertainment in Krishna's pastime. It's not a circus. You know, all the demigods, Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all these persons, they're all involved in Krishna's pastimes. Everybody gets it. All of the important persons, all of the important personalities within the universal affairs, they all get an opportunity to participate in Krishna's pastimes. By the performance of those pastimes, then Krishna attracts everybody. And Krishna is all attractive. He's Bhagavan, Prabhupada explains. He's Bhagavan, which means he's the possessor of all opulence, all knowledge, all fame, all strength, all wealth. All influence, basically, and all renunciation is in Krishna's personality, in Bhagavan, in his possession of all opulence. And because he's the possessor of all opulence, then he's the most attractive. You know, my favourite explanation for all possessing all opulence. You know, there was a man called the Mighty Apollo who was famous for being very strong. He could pull a tram down Birch Street with his teeth. Yeah. You know, they'd tie a wire onto the tram and pull the tram along with his teeth. They brought him down to the South Melbourne beach and they got planks and they put them on his chest and they drove a truck over it. And thousands of people come into Melbourne, you know, into Birch Street to watch this man pulling a tram down the street with his teeth. Yeah. So because he's manifesting the opulence of strength, then he's very attractive. You know, people want to come and see, watch him pull a tram down the street with his teeth. Wow, let's have a look. Great feat. So and then there's, you know, when I was a young boy, Marilyn Monroe was considered very beautiful even to this day. You see pictures of Marilyn Monroe, mundane beauty. Or another person is Jacqueline Onassis. Jacqueline Onassis was the wife of President Kennedy, JFK. And she married Aristotle Onassis, who was a Greek shipping magnate, very wealthy man. And you know, when I was a young boy then, you know, almost every week in the Post or the Women's Weekly or the New Idea, there'd be a story about what Jacqueline Onassis was doing with her husband, Aristotle. Because she was very beautiful, naturally beautiful, so she was attractive. Aristotle Onassis was actually a very ugly man. But he had lots of money. He was very wealthy. So, you know, whatever he did, then people were attracted to it. So they were always writing stories about this couple. Right? So they had the, you know, she was beautiful. He had money. So therefore they're attractive. So people are attracted to all of these things. So Krishna has everything. He has all of these things. Being the possessor of everything, the source of everything, then he obviously, he by, and these, it's all demonstrated in Krishna's pastimes. You know, he lifts Govardhan Hill, which is a huge mountain, you know, with his little finger. And, you know, most powerful. Most beautiful. Everybody was attracted to Krishna's beauty. Everyone. And you know, most learned, most influential, most famous. So Krishna has all of these. He's Bhagavan. And because he's Bhagavan, and he has all of these characteristics in full, demonstrated in his pastimes, then he's understood as Krishna, the most attractive personality. So, the Bhagavatam brings us to this point of understanding. There are many, many incarnations. What's that verse in the Indrari Vyakulam Lokam? What's the first line? Eke Chamsa Kala Pumsa. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Midayanti Yuge Yuge. So the Bhagavatam describes how there are many, many incarnations. Anantam, unlimited incarnations. But of all of the incarnations, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, the original Bhagavan. You know, this is, and I say this because, you know, it's mentioned here. We should find, it's recommended that the devotee should worship the form of the Lord that's most appealing to him. So, you know, we could wonder, why didn't Prabhupada get us to worship, you know, Hayagriva or, you know, some other form of God? Why didn't he teach us to worship Radha Krishna? Actually, it's interesting, Prabhupada taught us to worship Panchatattva. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Even Prabhupada actually taught us to worship the spiritual master first, right? And the spiritual master reveals the form of the Lord. And then of course Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Predominantly we find in Islam temples, pretty much predominantly. Some temples have Sivaram Lakshma in some places. But actually, you know, the pantheon, if you like, or the mix of worship that we follow is Gaunitaya or Panchatattva, Radha Krishna, and then Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. This is how Prabhupada revealed Krishna to us as the all attractive personality. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who reveal, you know, open up the, or create the, what's it, the, you know, the mukti dwara, if you like. They open the gate to liberation by introducing the Sankirtan Yajna, you know, and basically the Sankirtan Yajna revolves around the chanting of Hare Krishna. But along with the chanting of Hare Krishna comes, you know, the worship of the deities and the worship of the devotees, and of course preaching, you know, distributing transcendental knowledge, like the Nada Yogendras. Their business was Sankirtan, really. Now the Nadi Yoginis are like a transcendental Sankirtan party. Very transcendental, because you know they're travelling all over the universe, no clothes or anything, just completely oblivious to the whole mundane material world. Although perhaps not appropriate for this day and age. They'd be very attractive to the hippies. In fact, you know, this is what this is, the hippies would go to India and they see all the sadhus walking around with no clothes on, and that would be very attractive to them. Yeah, this is spiritual life, walk around with no clothes on. And take LSD to get some higher state of consciousness, higher, you know, basically take LSD and become confused.